The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Lord, we are just as often among those who don't understand and find what you have to say difficult. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would open our hearts and minds to receive you and to understand in a deeper way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul
in this reading from Ephesians makes a really strong statement about evil. And I wonder what you think about it. Paul claims that the real struggle that we have in this life is not against people, not against human enemies, but against powers of darkness, against spiritual forces of evil. I wonder if that's how you see the world. I talk with parents, in fact, I talked with two sets of parents this week who were preparing their children for baptism, and I ask if they understand what it means to renounce something. Because early in the baptismal service, they promised three times to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God and the evil powers of this world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. To renounce something is to take a very strong stand against it. Interestingly enough, parents are usually very quick to give examples of evil forces that they see in the world that corrupt and destroy, and very often the first thing that they name is greed. Greed is a dark power that works against the purposes of God for this world. Greed is something that infects our being and affects how we think and act and care for other people. I bet we could easily name other powers of darkness. The divisions and barriers that keep people from listening to each other and caring about one another. Hatred that makes us see groups of people as less than human. Prejudice. Bigotry, racism, fear, hopelessness. How about compassion fatigue? All of these things have the capacity to beat us down, to slow us down, to keep us from being engaged, to keep us from loving others or seeking peace or fighting for justice. You could probably name more things that appear to you as powers of darkness, things that seep into our being, affecting how we see others, the choices we make, and the things we are willing to ignore. Paul takes these forces very seriously, and he admonishes us to do the same. He says we should be dressed and ready, prepared, and protected. Imagine if you got up in the morning and as Paul instructed, actually put on the full armor of God. One way to do that is to visualize putting on the equipment that Paul lists. Begin by putting a belt around your waist, buckling truth to the center of your being. Then fasten a piece of armor across your chest, which is righteousness. Righteousness is a churchy word, but it means the capacity to do right, to do what Jesus would do in every situation and every relationship. This capacity to do right has an important place right over our heart. Then tie shoes on your feet that lead you to be a peacemaker wherever you go. Imagine a shield in your hand. It's the faith that God gives you to fend off arrows that otherwise might pierce your heart. Settle a helmet over your head to guard your mind and to keep you focused on God. And when everything else is in place, pick up a sword for doing battle. This sword is Scripture. Perhaps you read it, perhaps you have it memorized, but in some fashion you carry it with you. You can actually do that visualization as part of your daily devotions, but there are other concrete ways to be prepared and protected for battling the darkness that we encounter. It's no coincidence that John's gospel today calls Jesus bread from heaven. Jesus makes a lot of claims about himself, particularly in the Gospel of John. He calls himself the Good Shepherd. He calls himself the light of the world. He calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus' claim that he is true bread is the only one that shows up in our gospel readings 4 weeks in a row. Jesus said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." What is so significant about bread that we devote 4 weeks to Jesus as the bread of life? 30-some years ago, I went through what I jokingly call my Earth Mother phase. Our kids were little. I was at home. I made stuff. I did crafts. For those of you who know I hardly ever cook, you might be surprised to know that I did most of the cooking. I even baked bread. It was therapeutic. Kneading the dough, punching it down, watching it rise, shaping it into baking pans. My favorite recipe was Anadama bread that has oatmeal and molasses. The smell of it baking was divine, and it tasted heavenly, warm from the oven, slathered in butter, fresh. Baked bread is pure comfort food. It's filling and nourishing. Bread goes with any meal and can be a meal in itself. Jesus said, "I am bread." As Jim Coral pointed out last week, that claim has a variety of meanings. Jesus certainly used this teaching to prepare his disciples for the practice of breaking bread in the Eucharist. Jesus, the bread of life, is what we receive when we come to communion. But Jesus, the bread of life, is even more than that. Jim reminded us that you are what you eat. So when we eat and drink Jesus' body and blood, using Jim's words, we are inviting Jesus to enter deeply into our very selves, to bring his principles and values into our lives, into our souls, to transform who we are into Jesus' image and living presence, end of quote. Jesus, the bread of life, is transformation from the inside out. But Jesus, the bread of life, is even more than that. Consider that every day, several times a day, we eat food to sustain life. Our energy is only as good as the quality and timing of our last meal. If the last meal you ate was 24 hours ago and it was a cup of coffee and a donut, I expect you're feeling it right about now. If your last meal was an hour ago and included protein and enough healthy calories to fill you up, you're probably feeling pretty good right now. If Jesus is the true bread of life, then it's not enough to eat a meal now and then. I wonder about this incredibly challenging time in the world when there seems like so much darkness. I wonder if we might need to take a look at our spiritual diet and change things up a little so that we are sufficiently nourished for the battle that we're in. There was a time in the life of the church when there were services every day of the week. I remember as a child seeing a neighbor leave her house every morning to walk to Mass. Is there enough daily food in your spiritual diet? During the pandemic, St. James has expanded our menu, the buffet that we offer. St. James offers some kind of spiritual nourishment nearly every day of the week. On Tuesday, there's centering prayer. In the fall, Chuck Stewart will again offer Going Deeper, which is a reflection on the scripture studies for the coming Sunday. On Wednesday, we serve up midday music and evening prayer. Centering prayer meets on Thursday and Friday. How are you being nourished day to day? I've talked with so many folks lately who are stressed, anxious, frazzled, weary, hopeless, discouraged. At such a time, we need a spiritual diet that matches the demands of our daily lives. So this morning, I invite you to consider if there's something you need to add to your spiritual nourishment, to sustain you, to build your strength and endurance, to protect you from the slings and arrows, to equip you to be the very presence of Christ wherever you go. Maybe it's time to add or change a daily devotional. I've put several of my favorites on a table at the back. It's blue, light blue tablecloth. I invite you to take a look at them. Maybe there's something there that you would want to order. St. James also has free copies of Forward Day by Day every month. They are on the tables as well. They're free for you to take. There are tons of free online resources. I've mentioned before that the Center for Action and Contemplation sends a daily reflection by Richard Rohr right to the inbox on whatever device you might have. A daily devotional is food for your heart and mind and soul. But that might not actually be enough to last a whole day. I think about the practice in monasteries and convents of the hours. Those folks know perfectly well that you have to come back every little while during the course of a day in order to be sustained. You might consider setting a timer on your watch that prompts you to stop three or four times a day to pray or just to refocus on God and breathe. Or maybe choose something that you do every day, like washing the dishes or brushing your teeth, and instead of doing it mindlessly, use that time to pray or just open yourself to God's love for you. You're probably still washing your hands dozens of times a day. The Lord's Prayer is the perfect length for that. Maybe you have a regular exercise routine. That's a great time to pray while you're walking. Or listen to Christian music and fill your soul with something that is uplifting. If Paul's description of this world as a spiritual battle resonates with your experience of life, you are not left alone or defenseless. Jesus has offered himself as the bread of eternal life, not for some time off in the future, but right here and right now, as nourishment, as sustenance, as energy, as power, today and every day, all through the day. His life becomes our life, dwelling in us, providing what we need, day in and day out. Amen.
Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. May the heavens bless you. May the sun shine on you. May the rain dance on your upturned face, but next month. May the stars make you wonder and smile. May the bounty and beauty of the earth bless you, and may you bless the earth in planting and protest and sharing food. And may God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go now. Go and revel in God's world. Go and be creative. Go and work for justice. Go and love your neighbors. Go and walk with God. Amen. Alleluia.
Amen.
Information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.